that's how I'm approaching this topic. I don't know much about CCK and Drupal 6. So if you ask me questions about CCK, I probably won't be able to answer them. Which brings me to another point is I'm easily distracted. So if you ask me a question in the middle of this, I'll probably forget what I was talking about, and the entire thing will go out the window, and you know, nobody will win. So if you could remember your question to the end and then ask then, that would be awesome. Thank you very much for being patient. So I'm going to talk about custom fields in Drupal 7. So what is a custom field? A custom field is essentially an attribute that you can attach to an entity. So things like users and nodes and taxonomy terms, I suppose, you can attach fields to those through the UI. And so Drupal comes with plenty of fields built in, such as text, Boolean, integers. Not sure what the full list is, but you can essentially think of fields as custom data types. So there are two other components of the field which you have to create if you want to make custom fields. So there's the widget, which is how you collect the data from the user. So for example, if you have an integer field, you use a text box to collect the information from the user. If you have a text field, you're collecting text data from the user from text field. So that's what a widget is. A formatter is the other side of it. Once you've collected the data, you've stored it in the database, you need to retrieve it and then show it to the user. And that's what a formatter is. It's what actually renders the stored data onto the page. Okay, so you start with a widget. That's where the user enters their data. It gets stored in the field itself, and then gets displayed in the end by the formatter. So I'm going to just go through the basic steps to creating your own custom field. I'm going to show you how to make poutine with Drupal. How many out-of-towners do we have in here? Okay, you guys know what poutine is, hopefully? Good. Okay. I did this presentation in Boston, and like I asked how many people knew what poutine was, and like half the room put up their hand saying they didn't know what poutine was, and I was shocked, but that's Boston for you. Okay, so the steps to creating a custom field, you start off with your info hooks. You say, hey, Drupal, I have this custom field. I have these custom field widgets. I have these custom field formatters. Have fun. Let administrators add those to entities. And then you create the widget itself with a hook field widget form. You've got a schema. That's how you tell Drupal, like, the database in which to store the field data. And then there's the validator, which is how Drupal tells whether or not the user entered data that you like. So if you have an integer field, you would have a validator that can tell the difference between, you know, the word taco and the number 11, and it will accept 11 but not taco, because taco is not a number. And then there's the formatter, a very simple topic. In Drupal 7, there's the render API, so you're defining massive structured arrays that define how that formatter is going to display your data. And at the end, I'm going to show Poutine Maker, which is my use case. So the idea is I run a poutine restaurant, and I want to let people order online. But I want people to be able to create their own custom design poutines, because Montrealers have very exquisite poutine tastes, so they want to be able to choose all their toppings and the kind of sauce that they have on there. And they, you know, I also want them to be able to name their poutine creation because, you know, you should put a name on something you create. You should be proud of it. So yeah, that's the case I have. I have some resources here. I wrote a 2-part blog series on the Evolving Web blog called Poutine Maker Introduction to the Field API in Drupal 7, parts 1 and 2. So you should check that out. I also have code up on GitHub and much more out-of-date code on Drupal Sandbox. So if you want up-to-date code that reflects what I'm talking about, use the GitHub link. So, custom fields, they essentially store custom data types. You have widgets, formatters, and validators. So, in this case, I'm attaching a field to an entity. So, probably like a article or something like that, which is a content type. But the label is cool, awesome field. The field name, the machine-readable field name is field, new field. It's an integer type, so that's the kind of data that you're storing, and I'm going to collect it in a text field. So, just repeating. So, you'd want to do it if you wanted to customize the way that you're collecting data from users, if you wanted to customize the way that you're displaying certain values. So, say for example, you add a color field. So you wanted to be able to collect colors from users. So you run a color fan site. And so you want to have like blog posts that feature certain colors. But, you know, and color nerds, they know hex values, but you don't want to force them to use hex values. So you could make a JavaScript widget that is a color picker so that they can just click on that value. And when they submit that form, Drupal will collect it in a hex value, but it doesn't really matter to the user how it's being stored. And then once you format it, you can format it using like text that is the name of the color or text that is the color of the color, if that makes sense. You can also add custom validation, and then something that the Field API does in Drupal 7 that's quite fancy is you can define custom storage backends. So if you wanted to store a certain field in, I don't know, MongoDB, that's a thing, then you can do that with this. So here's a really simple application of writing custom fields. This is a first name, last name field. The idea is that you want to collect a list of names from the user. So instead of giving them a whole bunch of text box where each text box is a full name, like the first name you put in, or sorry, in the first text box you say Tavish Armstrong, the second text box you put Logan Smith, etc. That gets a little tricky when you have somebody whose name is like Jim Bob, because then you're like, you know, did they put it in the opposite way? Is their name actually Bob Jim and they just entered it the other way? Like that could get confusing, right? So if you separate them this way, you can still have the multi-value functionality of fields, but still have that nested field set. So this is a multi-value field. All three of those names are getting stored in the same field. I'm not sure what I just said, so I'll try that again. All three of those names are getting stored in the same field. So each one of these is not a field unto itself. It is just a value in a field or an item in a field, depending on what part of the API you're looking at. So here's the color picker widget example I had. It's going to store the value as a hex value in the database, but the user will enter it using this color wheel. So I'm going to, like, the case that I have is really just a multi-value field set. And there's a way that you can implement this exact same thing using a contrib module called field collection, and that has a UI for this, so you don't have to write any code. So in all senses, this is a much better way to do it. Poutine Maker is kind of a dummy example. It's it's a very simple example just to show how you can get your feet wet writing custom fields. However, if you are doing this exact same thing, I really recommend taking a look at Field Collection. I believe it's by Fabo, who does field stuff. And it's improved a lot over the summer, too. So yes, I believe so. Is that correct? Yeah. But it might work. So it might actually work, says Alex. Yes. I've tested it actually, and it does work pretty well now. You'd want to probably write your own formatter for it, because the default formatters are kind of basic and a little ugly. But the widget itself is very powerful. I've put some pictures of poutine throughout my presentation just to sort of set the mood. So enjoy. Okay, so let's get started with the actual code. The first step is the info hooks. Hook field info is where it all starts. You say, hey, Drupal, I have this awesome field that you should know about. I want you to display the name of the field as custom poutine. Can we kill the lights? Thanks. Internally, I want to refer to it as poutine maker poutine. Can everybody see? Excellent. Great. Awesome. Thanks. Okay, so internally I want Drupal to refer to this field as poutine maker poutine. And I'm also going to set two attributes, or nested array values, whatever you want to call those, default widget and default formatter. So what this means is that you can define a custom field that uses one of the built-in widgets that comes with Drupal. So if I'm defining a new color field, I can say, hey, Drupal, a text field is a totally valid way to input a color. So I wouldn't even need to define the widget. So this is very modular. You can separate the widget from the field, from the formatter. They can all play really nicely together. And this is where you set the same defaults. So poutine maker field widget info is where you tell Drupal about your fancy widget. This is, again, the thing that's collecting the data from the user. The human readable name is default, and the field types that it works on, and this goes back to what I was saying in the previous slide, is this widget is really special purpose and will only work on my poutine maker poutine field. However, you could have a more general purpose widget like textbox or text field, textbox, and it could work on integers, text, first name, last name, anything. Not anything, but okay. So poutine maker field formatter info. This does essentially the same thing as hook field widget info, but you're defining formatter and. Again, you can define formatters that work on multiple field types. So, you could define a formatter called basic text, and it'll just output a p-tag with the value, and that could probably work with integers, text, whatever. And so, one example, which data is in contrib, right? Yeah, so the date field has a whole bunch of widgets, so you can either use a date picker or a text box or whatever to input that date. It's all getting stored in the same date field type, but you're inputting it in different ways. And I think it has different formatters for formatting it, so different date formats. This guy is shaking his, nodding his head, so I think I'm right. More poutine. said ooh? That looks delicious. So let's carry on with our widget. Hook field widget form. It takes a whole bunch of parameters, or I guess it takes arguments. The first one is form. This is the form that you are inputting this field on, this field widget. Form state is the state of that form. Field is the field type. And if you don't know a lot about how fields are done, there's a distinction to be made between fields and field instances. A field is the field type, so text field. An instance is a place where you've put that on an entity. So, so for example, nodes have a title field, and that would be an instance of a text field. I don't think that's actually how it's implemented, but bear with me. That's how it could be done, in theory. And so the instance is that single text field on the node. Langcode is the language of the field. And then items are the actual stored values. So keep in mind that when you're rendering this form, the user might have already entered data. So if you've created a node, and then you edit that node, it's going to have values already inside its fields, which is obvious, but you have to really pay close attention to that when you set the default value of elements in this. Delta is the value. So I showed you the example of the first name, last name field. Each first name, last name pair was a value in the items array. So items is an array of values in a multi-value field. Delta is the key of the current value that we're rendering. So you only need to define the widget for a single value at a time. You don't have to say, like, okay, I need to render 5 first name, last name pairs, and then actually write a for loop in this function that does that. You're just defining one at a time, and Drupal, or the field API, is smart enough to just recall that every single time that it makes a new value. So every time you click add another item, that's what's happening. And then element is the actual widget that you're returning. Element is the element in the form that has to do with your custom field. And the reason why that's passed in as an argument is that it has some insane defaults that you don't want to blow away, and that you also don't want to recreate every single time you make a field widget. So don't just overwrite that. It has some useful stuff in it. So here I'm just getting some, I'm collecting some information from the instance and the element and the, from the element. Pay close attention to required here. So the requiredness of your element is determined by the field API. So for example, if you have the first name, last name field and it's required, by default, Drupal will only force you to input the first name, last name pair. And so you really need to use this element required business, because if you just always set it to required, for example, then every time you press add another item, it's going to make that one required. And I think when you press add another item, it like makes a blank one too, so don't do that. That's what I'm saying. And item is just like the current stored value. So if this form, or if this function is getting called for the second value in the multi-value field, I'm just assigning item to the stored values that I'm actually looking at filling this widget with. So here I'm saying that my element is a field set, because what I want to do is collect the title of the poutine, the ingredients that they want in the poutine. So this is the name of the poutine. It's a text field. It's as required as the field itself is. And then default value, I'm pre-populating it with the value and item if that already exists. So if you're just filling this form out for the first time, item isn't going to have anything in it. If you're editing this poutine, it'll have a name already. Here's the checkbox for whether or not it's a vegetarian poutine. And then here's a nested field set for the meat toppings that you want available. So I'm just grabbing an array of poutine meat toppings from another file that I have. And I'm just making a text box for a checkbox for each one. And you'll notice here that while this field set is nested, this item is not. So each item that you collect has to be flat, because you're thinking of it as a row in a database table. So while you're collecting it in a nested way, there's no way for the field API to know to like create a separate table for that nested stuff and then link them together. So what you need to do is have that get flattened into a single row and then save that. And so that's what this process, pound process attribute is I'm defining a process callback, which is going to take in the nested values, flatten them so that the field API knows to save that into the database correctly. Which is a little confusing, and I'm just going to gloss over it because it's a technical detail that you probably don't need to think about unless you're doing this exact same field, in which case you can just steal my code or look at it and modify it. So these are the non-meat toppings. Did I miss something here? No. Excellent. So these are the non-meat toppings. I'm just going to set them the exact same way I did the meat. I'm going to get the values the same way. I'm going to set that process hook the exact same way. Process callback, sorry. And then I'm going to return the element. So now Drupal has everything that, now the field API has everything that it needs to render that new value. That's the end result. So you input your name, whether or not you are a vegetarian, and I didn't show this in the slides, but if you click the vegetarian checkbox, it'll hide the meat options because you don't want to look at that, or accidentally click on the one of them. That would be pretty disastrous. And then there's an add another item. So all that code, I can make an order entity and add like 30 poutines in one field instance, which is pretty cool. Thank you. Okay, so not healthy. No, don't order 30 poutines unless you have 29 friends. Okay, so poutine maker field is empty is another hook, which I always forget about or do wrong. Which is very silly because it's like it's a pretty easy thing to do. You just look at the item array and figure out whether or not it has useful data in it. So if you return true, you say, yes, it's empty, the field API will say, okay, it's empty, you have nothing useful for me, I'm not going to bother saving anything to the database. So if you do this wrong and you say it is empty when it's not actually empty, your stuff's not going to get saved, and you're going to think it's some other problem, and you're going to like pull out some hair or maybe punch a colleague, or I don't know. None of this happened. So I don't have much else to say about it. Do it correctly. So hook field schema is, you'll put that in your .install file if you're familiar with other Drupal patterns, and this is pretty, should be pretty obvious. So I'm going to define a column for each value that I'm putting in. So for each topping, I'm just going to store each one as a Boolean column. So I could also do this by somehow doing something fancy and serializing all those topping values and sticking that in a single database column. If I wanted to be fancy, I could use some other storage backend But assuming you want to be boring like me, do it this way. Or poutine. Okay, so next up is you want to create a validator so that people aren't submitting values that you don't want into your database. So for my poutine maker field, I don't know, sweet potato and tofu, some people don't like tofu, so, you know, if you made this field, you would probably change it so that if you checked off tofu, it just, 500 error. But I have an open mind, so I'm okay with, like, guacamole and stuff in my poutine, but if you mix tofu and sweet potato, that's dumb. I won't let my chefs do that. It would be a travesty to the poutine world. So there are two steps to this. There's hook field validate, and then there's hook field widget error. Hook field validate says it just detects the errors. Hook field widget error will take care of rendering that error. So here's hook field validate. It just looks at all the items in that multi-value field and says, in any of these, has the user checked off both sweet potato and tofu? And then if so, it says, oh, I've detected an error. The machine-readable name of my error is poutine maker invalid full. The reason for that is that you can actually switch on that in the next hook that I show you. So you can define different types of errors so that you can handle them differently. Like if you somehow detected that the user was trying to destroy your site using this field, then you could have like a error code that, you know, sends agents after them or something. But this is just basic. This is like, this entire poutine is wrong. You need to start over. That's why I've called it poutine maker invalid full. So here's hook field widget error. This is how you actually make the form API render that error. Poutine maker invalid full is the error that I'm detecting, and then I'm gonna act by setting an error on the entire field. So I'm going to select that entire poutine and say this is wrong. Yeah, I had to test my field, you know, so. I can't even tell what some of that stuff is. It's just like, I think there are chunks of ham in there. Like, it's... All right, next up, it's the most exciting one, creating a formatter. So the way you do this is you just create a renderable array using the render API, and the hook name is hook field formatter view. And so, here it is. It's quite simple. So I have a helper function here that's called poutine maker format field, and that's just going to render a single item. I recommend splitting it up this way because if you collect like 30 poutines, and then you're just going to have like for loops inside for loops, and you know, no one will be your friend after all that. So here's poutine maker format field. I'm defining an element array. This is different than the hook field widget form element array. So I'm defining a container. I'm putting the name attribute inside that container. I'm rendering it with a field label. Kind of boring, but it works. If it's a vegetarian poutine, I'm gonna make a bolded message that says this is a vegetarian poutine, so that if I show this to a chef, he's going to know not to put the meat sauce on it. He's going to put the pepper sauce on instead. Here's the rest of it. There's nothing really interesting to say about this, so I'll just skip over. That's the end. So this is my formatter. It's displaying all the toppings that you've added and the name of the poutine. In my case, it's awesome best poutine because it's the best. So now I have a demo. Do you know what time it is? Do I have to talk until I have 15 minutes? Excellent. I think when I did this in Boston, I was done in like 10 minutes, so I'm doing much better this time. So here's the code if you want to take a look at some point. Oh, wow, I think I forgot to open this before I did my presentation. So to everybody who doesn't know how to code, I just hacked into the mainframe. Don't make fun, guys. I'm trying. Okay, I'm in. Okay. Gonna create an order. Gonna give it a phony order number. My poutine maker or my poutine restaurant is very popular. All right, what should I name this poutine? Le quoi? Vegetarian. I'll do it to spite you. All right. Pepper sauce, cheese curds, anything else? Oh, no. Your poutine is not tasty. Sorry, guys. You'll have to continue Drupal consulting, and you won't be able to make it as poutine chefs. They are still there. It's a good question. I think the way I did it is I was lazy here and I didn't clear it when you hit it. But I think that I do actually ignore that value when I save it. Don't put me on the spot. I will, sure. I don't think it'll work, but that's okay. I'm Yeah, so for the record, Alex isn't mic'd. So on elements, you can set a pound states attribute that says hide this when certain other things are true on the page. And what that does is it'll just select, like, you'll give it a jQuery selector and say, like, say, you'll give it the jQuery selector for this checkbox and say, only show this meat field set when that one isn't checked, right? So as soon as it gets checked, it'll hide it. In the code that I read, it wasn't, no. I skipped over that for the purpose of simplicity. Yeah, you can call I don't know what the name of the function is, but there are ways to include JavaScript in the page, either a JavaScript file or a JavaScript snippet that you're defining in your PHP code. But for simple stuff like that, the states form API attribute is quite powerful. Okay, so now I'm going to save. And get ready, because I forgot to mention this, but I made a fancier formatter. So if you're a designer, are any of you designers? Okay, you may want to leave the room. This might be disconcerting. So, okay, so submit bug reports on GitHub. All right. Oh, and here's a little note. This is a vegetarian poutine. You know, just but it's not, so I don't know. Yeah, so the idea was I wanted to render like a realistic image of the poutine so that people would know whether or not they wouldn't actually enjoy their poutine. So I think this is pretty good, right? And to make it interactive. Oh no, guys, it's not working. Okay, so in a future version, I may have it so that like the chicken like runs away from the fork as you try to stab it, but 2.0, yeah. And there you go. So that's a single field. It has two values, and I'm displaying them in kind of crazy ways. So go out there, make your own fields. Have fun. Not as much fun as me, hopefully. I think I'm having too much fun. Great. So, so you can ask questions now. Yeah. Hmm. Okay, so the question is if, for example, you want to make a pizza field and you figure it's probably pretty similar to this. Oh, pizza and poutine. So one way you could do that is define a separate pizza field. I would imagine that there are ways that you could share code between these two, especially like the topping list. That would be really easy to share. Even the structure you could probably extract out and reuse. And then you could put those together using the field collection module. And then if you decided to expand your operations and have pasta or pad thai or something, you could also make those fields and add those to the field collection. So. I would expect so, yeah. I mean, you're the guy who came up with the idea, but it's poutine on top or I don't know. I think it would have to be below to, like, catch the poutine and why choose? Yeah. Okay, any other questions? Oh, sorry. Field collection. It's a collection of fields, yeah. So but with shared toppings, that may change. So off the top of my head, I think one way you could do it is to define like a topping entity, which with a file field and a name field or something, and an image field and a name field, and then have your element hook or your hook element info hook, I don't remember what it's called now, but have that look at that list of entities that are toppings and display those on the form. I can't say how you would end up storing that, but it's an interesting idea, and I should be able to do it. Yeah. Anybody else? Alex. Okay, so Alex is asking me to explain the hook element info, which is how you can define your own form elements. So if you're defining forms elsewhere in Drupal, like it's not a field per se, you can do something very similar with hook element info. During the code sprint, I was actually working on creating a language select, but that's going in core, but it's the same idea. Like there's a system element info implementation of hook element info. You just say, hey, here's a element type, and then in that case I just attached a process function to it because I could use the formatter or the theme function that select is using, but I could customize certain things. Like I could have it auto load the language list. So does that sort of answer what you were looking for? Okay. So, I think that's everything, or? Oh, yeah, sure. Oh, I think I have this open somewhere. So here I'm defining the field set with all the meat toppings. I'm gonna say that it's only visible when the vegetarian checkbox is not checked. Okay, so does that make sense? Yep. So it's just really ugly. I'm taking all those variable names and creating selectors out of them. So there's a reason why I have a helper function for that, because it's kind of ugly. So, yeah, thanks for coming, everybody, and enjoy the rest of the camp.